We are on.
Mr. President?
No, he's in Florida. He's running from Texas.
We'll take care of it.
Good morning. We'll start today with the Lord's Prayer and then the Pledge of Allegiance. Our Father, Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, God will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. And give us our trespasses. As we forgive those who trespass against us. It is not temptation. The power and glory of God. Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, for liberty and justice for all.
For the records, Mr. Dukes is out of town for this meeting, but he will be back next. Approval of the agenda. Dave?
We do have one item to delete. At 10:15, Glenn Lutke, lease agreement, paramedic stations 100 and 104.
Okay, the only other thing, I talked to Mrs. Webb this morning, Susie, then on grant request, the American Cancer Society, we're going to bump it off again until I get it clarified. Motion, gentlemen?
We accept the agenda with modification. Rogers?
North, say a second.
Yes, I'm
thank
sorry.
You. Okay, that's cool.
I let you Democrats run the show.
Okay. You're much better off.
Not enough of you around, though, is there?
It's moved to second that we approve the agenda as amended. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Need me now,
yes.
Don't you?
Approval of the minutes for the February 22nd. You had your paperwork on the desk?
Yep. We approved the minutes on February 22nd.
Thank you.
What date, what's the date, Mr. President?
22nd, 7.
27.
Yeah.
There was a memo that there were a few changes.
Right.
They were just, like, nothing substantial.
Okay.
Okay. Okie dokie. We moved in second that we approved the minutes as printed. Yeah. Mr. Cole?
Yeah.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
We're doing the minutes.
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed. Correspondence, Mr. Griffin?
I have a letter from the Delaware Ecumenical Council thanking council for a resolution relating to or recognizing National Parent Leadership Month. And it talks about a survey that was done through Parents Anonymous that over a period of 6 months that has resulted in reduction in violence against children and domestic violence. And we have a letter from Friends of the Milton Public Library. They're asking whether any funds are available for, this appears to be an application. So that should be put on.
I told him to contact Mr. Rogers, he had plenty.
Okay. That's all the correspondence.
Any other correspondence from any council?
I've just got a couple thank yous from Westside New Beginnings Community Center Youth Program, the $5,000 contribution. They're thanking us for that. And then there was also one here from Delaware Environthon or something.
Yeah,
they were thanking
we
us.
All gave money.
Somebody already said that? All right. Yep. Other than that, there may be more here, but that's it.
Okie dokie. Mr. Baker?
Yes. Good morning. This morning, I'd like to report on the National Association of Counties Legislative Conference, which is the annual conference held in Washington, and it was March 3rd to March 7th. Council attended, and Mr. Godwin and Mrs. Webb and myself also attended. There were a number of valuable workshops and committee meetings that were held, and then Wednesday, Mr. Godwin and Mrs. Webb met with our Delaware congressional representatives to go over some of the issues. I thought I'd summarize here some of the issues that were discussed that affect the county. The first that we had here was community development block grant and home grant funding. This is the housing rehab funding that We received about $1.1 million this year, but in 2004, that was $1.9 million. The proposed federal budget cuts the grant funds nationally from $3.7 to $2.7 billion. So that was that's always a major concern for us. As far as the airport improvement funding, this is a there's a change being proposed in the structure of the funds for airport improvements. What the idea is to reduce the passenger ticket tax and increase the fuel tax, the federal fuel tax, from 21 cents to 70 cents per gallon on general aviation fuel. And this would have a major impact on our airport. It would have an impact on Patson to Crane, because they are based mainly on the business jet industry. And so by increasing that fuel tax by almost 50 cents, you know, it could impact us at the airport. And of course, it would also have a negative impact just in general on general aviation airports, which is what we are. Right. Wastewater funding for infrastructure. This is an annual. We always bring this up to our congressional people because this is so important to us. Our federal funds for USDA and SRF, low interest loans. Over the last 5 years, we've expended over $50 million of funds for various sewer projects, and we see that continuing in the future with new projects. Beach replenishment was also a concern. $14 million is needed for beach replenishment in Bethany and South Bethany area especially. And also there was a concern, there is a proposal to amend the Clean Water Act, which would require the Federal Corps of Engineers to permit normal cleaning and maintenance of tax ditches. And that was a concern also. So I don't know if Mr. Godwin or Mrs. Webb would like to make any comments, or councilman had any comments, of course, about the conference, but wanted to just bring everybody up to date.
Good job.
Okay, the court. Chip just said, let us know that Bethany and South Bethany, the beach replenishment money has been approved.
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah, I heard on the radio this morning, right?
Okay.
State good. Legislator were raising their hands.
Yes.
That we did it, or they did it personally.
Okay. And then the next item was the county administrator's report, 911 address verification. Attached is a copy of a public service announcement developed by Mr. Chip Guy, public information officer in the county's addressing department. Rising is requesting verification of new 911 addresses for each property. This verification will enable Verizon to match the proper address to phone number, and thus the county's 911 center will have a proper physical address associated with each telephone number. As noted, to verify your address, please call the county addressing office at 855-1176. I know Mr. Guy yesterday explained to me he's been in touch with different TV stations and Comcast and to try to have this public service announcement run as many times as possible. So we're encouraging residents to call the addressing department just to verify, and then we'll pass that information along to Verizon.
Yeah. Out of curiosity, when this begins, is there any chance the system will get overwhelmed with calls? Could they get busy signals, or do they get channeled to another live body? Or
I guess that's possible. It would depend on the volume of calls that we get from the public. Donna, do you want to come up and speak to that?
Come on, Don. You aren't glad you came down?
One of the other things we talked about yesterday is taking messages. You know, we can set our phone system now. We have a lot of flexibility. So at night, if people call in at night, they just leave a message. They don't really have to talk to us. You know, tell us the address and phone number.
Alleviate even during the day if all the lines are tied up, it could channel right into a message center.
Actually, yeah, if I'm not mistaken, I'm not the phone expert, but I believe the way the phones are set up, if someone calls, you will get a ring regardless of whether or not the line is tied up. If someone's on the line, it'll roll over to a second line, and if no one answers, then it would go into voicemail. But the way it's supposed to work within a call group in an office is if one person's phone is ringing and he or she cannot take the call, others in the office should pick up
there's five or six people at any time. I'm Donna Pusey. I'm supervisor of the 911 addressing. We've got five or six people at any time there to answer the calls. Yesterday after it aired it a did. Few times over and over, you could tell what time it got aired because we had an influx of calls. All of a sudden, it's like four or five calls at once. We did get a good response yesterday for the PSA going. Other than
just keep hammering.
Getting them, huh?
Just keep hammering the public so we
can
keep
hammering,
doing, you know, what we can to notify people. We need your addresses. I actually received one email today. A gentleman emailed me, this is my address, this is my corresponding telephone number.
And we may set it up that way as well, that we can give people a couple of different avenues by which, you know, to respond, whether it's by telephone, mailing back their card, or emailing their information in, so that whatever's most convenient.
We plan on running this, like, certainly till the, you know, the second home people come back down.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the whole point, is to get this going now, so that by the time May and June roll around, you know, we're moving along with the ad campaign and the PSAs out there, and then through the summer. I mean, we still have got some of those details to work out, but the intent here is, for lack of a better word, to a carpet bomb.
Every time they look at the TV, they're going to see, send your address in.
Right. I want something that is consistently out there. There's a presence out there. What's nice about the release that I did a couple of months ago, and right then and there when it was a news story, was we picked up a little bit of bump that day and the next day, you know, as we wound down from that news cycle. But once it's out of the news pages, it's sort of out of the public's consciousness.
Right.
With the PSAs, the idea is to have something that is aired every so often, every couple of days, every few hours, whatever we can get and however consistently we can get it, to keep it present in the minds of the homeowners and residents and businesses out there.
I guess, Dave, we're still going to do something with the property tax and all that, all the billing and all.
What we'd like to do is mail a card to the ones that we know we need to, we don't have the matching,
right,
and mail them this card that can be sent back to us also. So that'd be another way they can verify.
For example, we're going to Greenwood Fire Hall when they have their
Open house.
Open house. We are actually going to have a table set up with these cards on them that people, if they haven't filled out the information or if they're not sure, just write their name, address down, and telephone number. We can bring it back. We've got a little box made up that we're going to have a table and stuff set up. So we will attend that and wherever else somebody asks us to attend.
That's excellent, because I know, like, Apple Scrapple Day. I mean, there's certainly, and I know, you know, there's a lot of things that were between the summer that we can certainly do, that would staff could do that, you know, to keep yourself present.
Yep.
That is a problem, right? Thanks,
guys. Questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next item is beneficial acceptance. The engineering department has granted beneficial acceptance to the following projects: the reserves at Lewis Landing Phase 2, Agreement 361-1 was granted beneficial acceptance on March 15th. Developer is Penn LLC. It's located at the intersection of Route 9, County Road 265 in the North Coastal Planning Area, consisting of 30 single-family lots. And then the next item, reserve at Lewis Landing Phase 3, granted beneficial acceptance also March 15th. The same developer, located at the intersection of 9 and 265 in the North Coastal Planning Area, consisting of 33 single-family lot. And included is a fact sheet on each of the projects. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Any questions for Dave? Being none, Hal? Good morning.
Mr. President,
President, members of council, this morning we have two wastewater agreements for your consideration. The first being Sussex County Project Number 8104, Agreement Number 625. In this contract, the developer is Mr. Stephen Doyle of Laurel, Delaware. Location is northbound lane of Route 113 in Dagsboro, which will be serviced by the Dagsboro-Frankfort Sanitary Sewer District to serve four commercial retail sites. The system connection charges total $22,068. We have approvals from our engineering department and the state's Department of Natural Resources. We're expecting five construction days and a construction administration and construction inspection costs totaling $5,779.65, with projected construction costs totaling $38,531. And the supporting proposed motion reads as follows. Be it moved that based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department for Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Agreement Number 625, that the Sussex County Council execute a construction administration and construction inspection agreement between Sussex County Council and Stephen Doyle Construction Incorporated for wastewater facilities to be constructed in Savannah Square, located in the Dagsboro-Frankfort Sanitary Sewer District.
Motion, Devin.
Second.
The move is seconded, moved by Mr. Phillips, seconded by Mr. Rogers, to approve agreement number 625 as stated by Mr. Goffman. Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
Yes, motion passed.
Gentlemen, the second and final sewer contract for your consideration is Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Agreement Number 587. In this case, the developer is Mr. Skip Valiant of Bethany Beach, Delaware. His location is Route 26, 1/2 mile east of the Asselwoman Canal in the Bethany Beach Sewer Sanitary Sewer District. This will serve seven townhouse condominiums with a connection charges totaling $28,014. We do already have approvals from our engineering department as well as the Department of Natural Resources. We're expecting 30 construction days and a construction administration and construction inspection costs totaling $4,963.65, with proposed construction costs totaling $33,091. The proposed motion to support this reads as follows. Be it moved that based upon the recommendation of Sussex County Engineering Department for Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Agreement Number 587, that the Sussex County Council execute a construction administration and construction inspection agreement between the Sussex County Council and Skip Valiant for wastewater facilities to be constructed in the Bethany Landing, located in the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District.
We moved and seconded that we approve agreement number 587 as stated by Mr. Galvin. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Glenn? Good morning. Oh, John? Okay.
Maybe you?
Frank.
Anybody wants to come up?
Oh, bringing the heavy, heavy guys in there. Huh? Speaking of big, no,
I'm old. I'm old. This is older.
Thank you.
Morning.
Good morning.
I'm here this morning with some bid opening results, requesting awards for these bids. I've put packets in front of you. Packet number one is for engineering. It's a utility pickup truck with a utility body. We received two bids on it. Unfortunately, one of the vendors did not follow the bid specs and bid the wrong unit. But the pricing on the second one from IG Burton at $32,121 is a fair price. After reviewing the bids, engineering believes that the bid from IG Burton Chevrolet would meet their needs. Okay. If you have no questions, I have a motion that Sussex County Council accept the bid of IG Burton Chevrolet in the amount of $38,043 for the pickup truck and options for one 4x4 utility body truck.
We moved it second that we approved the bid of IG Burton. Okay. IG Burden, as stated by Mr. S. Frank. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phelps?
I'm sorry. Okay, I see.
Got it?
Yes.
Okay, that's cool. Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed.
Thank you. Number two in the packet is, again, an engineering bid. It was for half-ton pickups that would be used to replace current equipment that's outdated. Bids were open Monday the 19th for two half-ton extended cab four-wheel drive pickups to replace engineering equipment. Two bids were received, and they were open and dealt with according to county policy. The results, IG Burton, $22,379. And they were the low bid. Townsend Brothers bid $23,697 a unit. After reviewing the bids, the engineering department believes IG Burton's bid would be the best for the county's needs. Mm-hmm. Motion that Sussex County Council accept the bid of IG Burton Chevrolet in the amount of $22,379 per unit for two four-wheel drive pickup trucks.
Motion, Gavin?
So moved.
Thank you. We moved to second that we approved the bid from IG Burton, as stated. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed.
Thank you. The next one, number three in your package, is for the EMS vehicles. This is for a conversion. Bids were opened on Monday, the 12th of March, for the custom conversion of two Chevrolet Suburbans to be used as paramedic vehicles. Four vendors responded. The bids were opened according to county policy. One bid did arrive late and was returned to the vendor unopened. The bids in front of you, Assurance Technology was the lowest with a bid of $12,998. Fesco at $23,990. J&J, $24,735. And Odyssey was at $33,138 per unit. The EMS staff reviewed these bids along with their committee and believe that the bids submitted by Assurance Technology Corporation would best meet their needs for this project.
We use these guys before, Frank?
No, but the EMS department did send three people to their factory to review their work, their product, and their facility, and they've come back with the belief that it would be a sufficient job and that they should do a good job for us.
We drove in the snow Friday and inspected the plant Friday. We've called three of their references in the Montgomery County Fire District's area, and we've gotten glowing results from three of the people that they've dealt with, and we were impressed with their operation.
A lot of money difference.
I'm going on their experience and
sure.
Visit, okay. But there is a lot of money difference there, and hopefully this might be a trend. We won't know until we experience it, but John has a lot of knowledge in this area, and he was there. So if he says it's good with me.
Yeah, I used to do all this.
And he fixes all the problems when they come back.
John, we have a motion.
The motion is that Sussex County Council accept the bid of Assurance Technology Corporation in the amount of $12,998 per unit for two Suburban paramedic unit conversions.
Motion, John.
Second.
We moved to second that we approved the bid as stated by Mr. Shea. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed.
And number four, the last bid was opened Monday, March 12th for the construction of two light rescue bodies for mounting and use as paramedic vehicles. For your general information, these are what we refer to as the ice cream trucks, right, similar to that the paramedics currently use. Again, four vendors responded. Bids were open according to the county policy. One arrived late and was returned unopened. Again, Assurance Technology came in low bid, $67,656 per unit, followed by J&J at $68,425, Fesco at $73,495, and Odyssey at $84,281. The EMS staff and their committee reviewed the bids and believe that the Assurance Technology Corporation bid would best meet their needs. The motion is that Sussex County accept the bid of Assurance Technology Corporation in the amount of $67,656 per unit for two light rescue bodies for use as paramedic units. And again, on all these bids, money is available and sufficient in the budget.
Perfect. I knew you wouldn't be here in front of us anyway. Motion, gentlemen?
Second.
We moved to second that we approve the bid as stated by Mr. Shea. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you very much. I guess, just Glenn?
Lawrence.
Okay. Right. Okay. That's right. I'm sorry. Okie dokie. Lawrence? We'll see if we can talk one more time about this, huh?
Yeah, one more time. Morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
And ladies. On December 12th of 06, well, the council had a lengthy discussion about the conditions of approval that related to the Marine Farm LLC application for a residential planned community near Jimtown. Part of the discussion related to the comments and petitions we'd received from the Jimtown residents, or some of the Jimtown residents, I won't say all, in relationship to the requirements that certain improvements be made for the residents of Jimtown, and it would require connection to water, connection to sewer, sidewalk, street lights. And the council agreed that an ordinance could be prepared for introduction so that we could hold public hearing on those conditions to see if they could be deleted or modified. The ordinance, I believe you all have a copy.
Yes.
As an ordinance to delete and or modify the conditions imposed by ordinance number 1770 for change of zone number 1554, the application of Marine Farm LLC. It makes reference to several whereases, giving the reasons as to why we're taking this step or for consideration. It provides that section 1 relates to the sewer improvements be deleted, section 2 relating to water improvements be deleted, section 3 relating to street light improvements be deleted, and section 4 relating to sidewalk improvements be deleted. That there was section 5 would be the condition 17E related Jimtown road improvements be modified by the elimination of the entire paragraph except for that portion which reads Marine Farm LLC will provide its sole cost and expense all roadway improvements required by DLDOT as indicated in the final approval letter issued by DLDOT, including all Jimtown road improvements. And the last section would be that any reference to condition 17H relating to other improvements be deleted also. The intent this morning is to get introduction so that we can proceed with advertising and scheduling for public hearing to get consideration.
And it will go through planning, zoning, and us both.
It will go through the commission and council. It was also in discussion that all the Jimtown residents be notified. Some of them aren't within the 200 foot, but I've included all of them, and that would be approximately 80 notices in total around the perimeter of the property plus Jimtown residents, which is courtesy, and that we prepare a cover letter explaining why we're proposing the ordinance and a copy of the ordinance.
I'll introduce it.
Thank you.
No, I thought there was going to be some discussion.
Okay.
It didn't give us much chance to
discuss.
No, I just still think that these conditions are put in there and they're in the best interest of those residents. Obviously, when you look at sewer improvements, water improvements, street lighting improvements, sidewalk, these are all enhancements that people desire. And I think sometimes that residents in these areas sometimes don't have a full understanding because they're not involved in the process, and they don't understand long-term effects and what it would do. I mean, these would all, if you asked anybody that was knowledgeable of this whole process, they would say all these things would enhance your property values, would be a positive thing. So to introduce this, I think we ought to just leave it the way it is.
I think we had discussion way back before, and we decided that the discussion was that we would really wanted to hear from the public.
Well, sometimes the public is not that informed versus the developer. The developers are always informed. They know what's going on. The general public and the people living in these areas, based on rumor, innuendo, or whatever, or just a lack of understanding of what's going on, don't quite grasp what's going on. And I think to take these things out would be very short-sighted and would be a real disservice long-term to the people and their properties and the benefits that accrue from this, safety-wise, on and on. I don't know why we're even considering it. It sets a bad precedent that every time
we told Mr. Lang to
I didn't tell him.
Well, the majority council told him.
They said, let's look at one and discuss it. We have an opportunity today to introduce it or not. Right. You quickly introduced it.
Well, I think it certainly should be open for public hearings and let the public come out and listen. And
we went through the whole public hearing process on the subdivision, when they came to this conclusion. We're going to keep second guessing everything, and we know, all of us know, that these are things that are highly beneficial. Mr. Rogers, I defer to you.
Yeah, the reason this is probably being introduced is that the public was very adamant during the public hearing. They didn't want nothing to do with it. They understood it. They didn't want to be bound to take their heritage away from the Jimtown residents, and they wanted to be left alone the way they were, and they paid for sewer when it came along from the county. And that's, I mean, they were, and that lady continues to call and say that they don't want it. So have a public hearing and let them come back in again and put it to bed. I got to agree with Mr. Cole that they're turning up a golden opportunity here to improve and enhance property values and the community and quality of life, but they have said strong and verbally that they do not want to be involved in this at all and want to be taken out of the mix. So that's why you're here today, mainly.
And the staff agrees. We're not,
we're not trying to do that change at all.
But I would note that.
But you're not going to see a very good turnout. This is going to be a real non-issue with most of those people because they're going out and going to work and everything else. There may be a couple vocal ones, but I just think
we understand
this, guys. We know better, and to take this out would be very a big disservice to these people.
I talked to Mr. Archett this morning about this. He met with some of the residents, and they expressed the concerns Mr. Rogers just mentioned.
Well, how does sewer take away from their heritage of Jimtown?
And
how does water?
One of the options we could do on the sewer side.
They don't want anybody screw with them, for lack of better words. That's the bottom line. They don't want it. Even though I agree with you 100%, George. I'm not saying that it certainly should be an area that should, because sewer water is certainly something, but they don't want anybody messing with them.
Well, the investment,
again, that's
the
why
investment,
we decided to bring
if,
this
here's
to
the,
head.
The investment the developer was contributing to all these improvements was substantial.
I understand.
And those people, in other words, you know, if I saw that money, instead of going here, going to some kind of contribution, some donation to the Jimtown, you know, Preservation Committee or something. But it's just, we're just crazy to do this to it.
Okay.
Crazy.
If I can add that in December 12th, after, as I said, lengthy discussion, there was a motion, a second, and by council to authorize public hearing to be advertised and held to hear the views of Marine Farm LLC and the residents of Jimtown to get clarification on the request to modify and delete portions of the ordinance. And that carried unanimously.
If the ordinance is introduced and a public hearing held, some of those items could be, some of the deletions could be, it could be amended.
Sure.
So that it's less, you know, for instance, if on the sewer side, I talked to, when I talked to Mr. Archett today, one of the possibilities would be to have the developer put the line in,
put the trunk
in laterals, and just let it sit there, and then
right.
if and when they want to hook
a dry
up,
system,
then they would
right.
hook up. Right.
The other alternative, gentlemen, was to figure out what the cost of all these issues were and escrow the money for X number of years.
That's what a public
and the county
will do?
No. We don't have the ability. Jim, would we have the ability to escrow the money?
No, it was, you could ask the question.
Quiet. No,
that was not imposed as one of the original conditions.
Right. We don't have the ability to do that. But that would be the smartest thing and the best thing in their interest because I don't know the ages of some of these people. Some of them just, like I say, if their comments are, we don't want anybody messing with us. That's not good enough for me.
The way it's being advertised is not only to does not create just deletion possibilities. It says delete and or modify.
Right.
Well, I don't see anything on the table here about modifying. All I see is delete,
Look at the title.
I see the title, but I don't see any staff people or anybody coming up with anything about modifying.
We certainly can have suggestions from our engineering department, as Mr. Baker said.
And these people aren't represented by attorneys. They don't have consultants helping them. They just at a disadvantage all the way across the board, and we're going to fall into
Mr.
Lang,
can you try? I know when you're scheduling and stuff like that, it's still way out, and I don't know how, but to make sure it would be a night meeting so that if possible, but that way we would not have the disadvantage of people working during the day.
The disadvantage is they don't have the expertise helping them, guiding them like the developer does on that side.
It's not an even playing field.
Anything you can say doesn't.
The people requested this,
not
us, not the developer, not anybody. I'm not arguing the point.
Maybe we could ask.
But you're going to give in and this is a step.
We're having a public
back.
Hearing. is what we're having.
All right.
If you think it would be helpful, we can try to meet with them again prior to the public hearing. Staff can try to meet with them to go over some options.
I would love to see that. I'd love to see them get the same expertise help, people that are knowledgeable, you know, that the other side has. It's just not a even plan for
it. This would be expedited anyway.
Okay, it will be. But if you could do that, that would certainly
it's for their benefit.
Maybe solve the problem as far as some of the
what's
people.
What's expedited? This hearing? This
public hearing will be scheduled more readily than what it would be in the normal process of a rezoning or a conditional use, because that would take 14 to 15 months. This will be done in the next couple of months.
Maybe that's in their best interest to have a cooling off here. Let them, might be able to get, learn more. I don't know what the hurry is.
This was discussed in December, and I'm just bringing it in for introduction.
Right, I understand.
Right. Yep. It's been good. Okay. It's going on 2 years now. Okay. Thank you, Aaron. Appreciate it.
He did introduce it, I believe, Mr. Dunn.
Yes, I did. Bob? Come on down. Angel, looking good out there, except for that pond out front.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here today to present change order number 6 for the Emergency Operations Center under construction by Richard Y. Johnson and Sons. This change order consists of 5 potential changes. The first is the addition of canopy roof drains, which is over the doors, entrances, there's canopies. This was necessary to direct the water away from the entrances, or else it would have fell onto the concrete sidewalks and create ice in the winter. Okay. The cost of this work the cost to perform this work is $3,145.55. The second is for changing door number 150A from a normal door to a bullet-resistant one. This is the door that goes into the situation room in the EOC. That was necessary because all the other doors are bullet-resistant into the EOC ECC area. The cost of this change was $2,115.75. The third was to add electrical power and a lockout switch to the hot water heater in the mechanical room. Electrical power and this lockout switch were not shown on the contract drawings. We have to have a hot water electric to the hot water heater to heat the water. Cost to perform this was $1,000. I'm sorry?
Tell them toughen up a little bit out there.
Cold water showers. The cost to perform this was $1,916.25. The fourth is for painting the block walls in the staff locker rooms and wall alcoves. This painting of this area was not shown on the drawings. The painting for the bathrooms and other parts were, but this was oversight, not shown in the contract documents. The cost to perform this work is $462. The fifth was to delete the ceiling and the painting of the ceiling in the food storage room. That's bulk food storage, you know, like canned goods and stuff, not perishables. A large access door would have been required to access the heat pump in this area. By the time you put that in, you know, a large portion of the ceiling was gone. It just made sense to delete the ceiling. The credit for this deletion is $375. The total of these five pieces of the change order for change order number 6 would result in a net increase of $7,264.55 to the existing contract sum of $7,142,087.42, resulting in a new contract total sum of $7,149,351.97. Any questions?
I guess we're still on budget within means, close.
Well, with all the change orders to date, we're slightly under the contract award amount, but we have several significant change orders coming up due to the generator room modifications and the electrical and telemetry modifications to conform with the R56 standard codes and all that, which we're working on, trying to work the kinks out on.
And is this going to be paid for by federal grants in a substantial way or not?
This is all, from what I understand, it's your tax local monies.
It's in our capital improvement budget, but so it'd be really transfer tax, but there is a big portion that's paid through state, the technology part of it, of the building.
Are you saying we're going to go over budget before this is all over?
I don't know how much is in the contingency.
We're working right now in the budget, and we're getting the figures together so I can report right back to you. Unbeknownst to me are these large change orders that are out there, so we were working on it for the budget anyway to see where we stand with including the furniture and the finishing off the building, the fixtures type thing, not the construction, but
we're okay for this change order.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we're okay for this short.
Yeah. Like, and yes, we do have to negotiate these two significant change orders. It's my hope that we will stay under budget even with those significant numbers.
And what's the total amount that's being added today?
Today is $7,264.55.
Okay. I'll make that motion.
I think he's got it. Let him read it in. Yeah, you have a motion?
Yes, I have a motion.
Okay, go ahead, read it in the minutes, please.
Okay. Be it moved, based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department and its consultant, L. Robert Kimball and Associates, that the change order number 6 for Sussex County Project 04-02, Emergency Operations Center Building, be approved, which increases the contract amount by $7,264.55 to a new total of $7,149,351.97.
That's a lot of money. That's awful. Yeah, you still make that motion, Mr. Phillips?
Yes, sir.
Second.
It's been moved to second that we approve change order number 6 as stated. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed.
Thank you, gentlemen and ladies.
Thanks, Bob.
If you have a chance to tour the facility out there, you know, it's very impressive.
I haven't been inside yet, but the outside, we can stock the pond. That way maybe we can help pay for it.
Chip will take care of that.
Chip will take care of that. That's cool. Yeah. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. I have one item on my agenda this morning. It's in reference to the South Coastal Library. As you may recall, we're moving through the design process for the expansion of the South Coastal Library. As it exists, it's a 10,000 square foot building. We're working through a design that would increase the size of the building from 10,000 square feet to 20,000 square feet. And this is an interesting project in that the funding for the project comes from three separate sources. We'll receive $3 million, and that money has already been allocated from the state of Delaware. Sussex County will contribute $1.5 million. And then also, there is a campaign in progress for the Friends of the South Coastal Library to provide up to $2 million. And we have a number of people here. I want to make some quick introductions. The gentleman that's walking around here, and he has the mock-up of the proposed building, that's Phil Conte. And Phil represents our architects, design architects on the project, Studio Jade. And Phil's going to do just a quick briefing of the design of the proposed expansion. Also, we have from the Department of Libraries, ladies, if you would stand up. We have our Director of Libraries, as you well know, Carol Fitzgerald, and Sue Keefe, who, what's your title down there?
Big Cheese.
Down at the South Coastal Library. And then also, I mentioned the Friends of the South Coastal Library. We have Mary Lou Teets, and Mary Lou will get up in a few minutes. She'd like to give a brief discussion of what the Friends of the South Coastal Library are trying to accomplish. And I don't know your friend's name. I apologize.
I'm Turner. I'm the president.
Okay, we have the president of Friends. Good. So at this point, I'm going to turn it over to Phil, and he's going to give you just a briefing of where we at on the, we are on the design.
You want Mike, Phil, or you want to stand over there?
I prefer to stand over here.
I think Robin would hook you up.
Okay. If it works.
I think we can just lay that right here. And I'll hold it to make sure it doesn't fall.
Test.
Before we bite the bullet. Before we start.
Do you have it on?
Sounds like it's on.
Test.
This used to come on.
Thank you for having me. My name is Philip Conte. I'm an architect with Studio Jade and the project manager for the Sussex County building projects. And the first one is the South Coastal Building Expansion and Renovation. I'm sorry I have my back to you all. Real quick, I just wanted to give you an update on where we are in our timeline. We have completed our schematic design, and we are in the middle of our design development phase. That deliverable is due in the middle of April. Construction documents are expected to be completed by the middle of June to the end of June. Bidding in July, negotiation contract August-ish. We'd like to start construction in September, get our foundation site work in before the winter. We've been meeting on a monthly basis with the Friends, the county, and the appropriate library departments as well, including John Filos from the state. The real quick, if you're not familiar with the library, I'll briefly go over it. These are some pictures of the library, okay, as in its existing state, and this is the existing site plan. I want to show you a change in the site that we're doing that addresses a lot of the problems that they currently have. As you can see, there's this circuitous entrance and really insufficient parking for this building. Our new site plan, and you see them side by side, you see how we try to take care of some of the problems. The biggest design change that we made, which was really organized this whole thing, was just to remove this meeting room right here. Number one, it's certainly not fulfilling the needs of what this expanded library will need, and it really created this mess up front. You see, in the new site plan, by removing that one element, okay, we're able to straighten this out and create a much more, you know, vehicular and pedestrian-friendly entrance and egress through and around the site, as well as straightening out this little dog leg that's back here as well. We increased the parking from what they had at about 80 spaces to really what we're able to get is 100. And this is really the most we can possibly get on this site. We do have a wetlands delineation line across the back. This is the remaining part of the library that will stay. All of this is new addition. Let me just see if I could briefly touch on some key points. All right, the existing building's 10,000 square feet. The proposed addition is 11,500 for a total of 22,500 square feet. And the main areas that we focused on to improve the service to the patrons was circulation. Okay, we had poor circulation in terms of checking in, checking out books. We've increased that. Staff offices, there's only 4 positions, which were crowded, as you can see in those photos in the beginning. We've gone to 8. Technology, we've increased from 11 workstations to 24. We've increased the stack area and seating in the teen center. We're doubling the book and media capacity in the adult collection. We're doubling the seating and the different type of seating in the adult seating area. In the children's area, we're doubling the capacity of the books, media, and seating. And in the cultural center, right now it's 900 square feet. That's going to become 2,500 square feet. That's a significant portion of this addition. And as you'll see in the plan, it really helps organize this entire facility and really starts to address some of the needs. Parking, we increased from 88 spaces to 100. And bike parking, we went from 10 spaces to 30 spaces. And we're able to increase the total seating capacity of the whole library, so it becomes a lot more user-friendly. Let me just see if I can get to the floor plan. Thank you.
Here's the new floor plan. Everything that is in light beige is the existing building that's going to be completely renovated. The darker beige is new construction, and this green area is sort of our reading garden, which is an outdoor element. When we took off this piece, the small meeting room, that allowed us to clean up the site, but also to create a new entrance and organize the library the way it probably should be organized for a building of this size, and having the services that we're looking to provide through all those design meetings that we had. You'll come into the vestibule, to the lobby, you'll have your circulation, you'll have your adult fiction and nonfiction to the left, and you're able to separate your children's collection over here to the right. We're able to separate the teens from the children and the children from the adults. We were able to create a much needed work area for the staff. It included lounge and computer training rooms and small conference rooms. New restroom facilities with the capacity to handle the new quantity of people. The biggest component in part of this addition is this large meeting room. It's been designed so that it could be split into two smaller meeting rooms. But the organizational space for this particular element allows it to really serve a lot of different functions. It's adjacent to this reading garden, and as you can see in one of these renderings right here, this is an interior rendering of that meeting room, of the view that you would have along this wall to the reading garden. When this room is not divided and it's one large space, you see that it easily becomes an outdoor space, and the outdoor and indoor space become blurred. And certainly down in this particular type of climate, you could see many events starting in here and spilling out into the outdoor reading garden. This reading garden, because of its location to the children's program, offers a really nice spot for some outdoor instruction or group reading areas that it is controlled. I'll show you an elevation where we are creating a boundary here. But this is a very nice area where children could come out and read or have small group instructions.
Now, is there some kind of, it looks like there's something over top that outside area.
It's a trellis.
Yeah, and you can see if you look up at the mock-up, Mr. Cole, you can see there.
I was going to say the sun coming in there in the afternoon might be pretty intense if you did have something.
Yeah.
Let's go to the building elevation so you can see what we're looking at. We were going for something very open, something more airy looking. So what we have is you have your existing structure, which is this heavy brick. But really, we want to be open. We want a lot more view to this garden. We certainly want a much more inviting entrance instead of the one that was tucked in underneath of all of this heavy masonry. The materials we're using are coated steel on the outside, cedar planking, and we're going to be infilling with existing brick to match the existing building where we tie in. This is an elevation along the side. Again, a lot of glass, okay, but a good healthy overhang, and then of course our trellis over top of our outdoor reading area. This is the view out the back through the children's area, where you can see this rock garden, the outdoor garden. We have the model, certainly. Please feel free to take a look at it.
Now, flat top roofs leak a lot. Every time I go by a flat top roof, they look like they leak. Is this going to be a
I think
problem?
I think we have figured out how to do them properly. I mean, cost effectiveness, a lot of cases, flat top's the way to go because of cost. Hopefully our experience with the EOC, because we have had some problems with the installation of the flat roof on the EOC, we've had some problems with the roof here. But, you know, as we've looked into it, a lot of it's workmanship. It just wasn't installed properly. And I know, Bob Jones, you want to add anything? I know you're not a fan of flat roofs, Bob. Right, and that's the other thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can be a problem.
Not too bad when it rains, when ice sits there is a problem, child.
We have problems with it rains in this building.
In this building we do.
Yeah.
You do.
Last Friday we did.
Yeah, I bet.
I mean, it's as Mike says, it's the installation, not necessarily the system itself.
Well, how come, we've had all these drawings done before and had architects, and then so when it comes to installation, who's going to sit around and make sure it's installed right?
Well, we actually employed Studio Jade. When we ran into problems on the EOC, we actually made use of, because they were doing some work for us upstairs evaluating, and I was so impressed by the work that they did, we brought them over and had them look at the EOC roof, and they gave us a lot of good information and put the contractor basically was told us, it looks like crap, but it's fine. And we said, no, it looks like crap. We're not going to accept it. And we brought Phil in and his staff, and they were able to technically specify what was wrong with the installation. The contractor jumped right to it and made the corrections that needed to be made, and now that roof, at least the flat roof part, is no longer leaking. So we think it can be done effectively, or we wouldn't be advocating it for this structure.
I mean, is the cost savings, is it worth it? Because if we did pitch it, how much are we talking about in money, and is it something that...
Well, it's a significant savings.
Is it? Okay.
And it would affect the overall design. But if I could have a little sidebar here just for a second about construction.
Do you want to walk over here to the...
He's going off the spiel.
Yes. I am not the design architect of this project. His name is Joe Tattoni. He was unable to be here today, so I'm covering for him. But my particular interest is during construction administration. And I think Mike and Bob would attest to that. That's where the rubber hits the road. We have enjoyed this design process. Working with these people has been wonderful. And it's going to be a very spectacular building, particularly for what they have now. But it's when we start building this thing is where it really, at least I have a personal interest in. So keeping that in mind, knowing that these are problems that I will have to deal with 6 months from now, we take a lot of care in making sure that we at least limit as much interpretation as possible while we're documenting the solution so that there's not too much... limit your exposure. We're limiting our liability during the documentation so that when we're constructing, we can really stay in control of the process.
And you've got also a firm grip, not only the ceiling, it's also sometimes the exteriors. Are they going to be durable to that salt air? Because when I heard steel, I mean, even though it's coated steel, I go ride around and see a lot of coated steel. It just isn't coated like the old days when maybe we're just not up to par and it's looking like crap in a couple years and we're stuck with this. Where, you know, they're using a lot of plastics and all this other stuff. So I get a little concerned. No offense against steel, but since you're...
Any doors out lately.
We invest a lot of time and resources into understanding the process. And there are, you know, aside from the design architect and me who likes to do the construction, we have just technical people who enjoy researching things.
All right. But it's that environmental... You know, because it's placed at the beach. And
correct. We completely understand its location.
Salt air eats it up as you look at it.
Okay.
All right.
Anything else, Phil?
No, unless there's any other questions on the design or the process.
I like the way it flows better. I mean,
yeah,
that's a huge.
It user wise, I think, or at least our administration of the users is going to be a lot better. Mary Lou, would you like an opportunity to come up and say anything?
Could I ask one thing, Mike?
Yeah.